This edition of the Monocle Sessions was first broadcast on Saturday, the 11th of April 2015, on Monocle 24.
I'll take a little bit of bass as well.
Can you turn it up a little bit? Just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling?
Okay, I'm recording whenever you're ready.
Let's do it, man.
You're listening to The Sessions at Midori House, and I'm Tom Hall. Today we welcome to the studio Michael Cronin. The LA-born musician found early success in the loud, messy haze of San Francisco's garage rock scene a few years ago, the same one that's birthed fantastic music from his contemporaries such as The OCs and Ty Segall. Michael is about to play some songs from his upcoming new record, MC3, but first, he's got a cover up his sleeve. The big star classic, The Ballad of El Gudo.
And at my side is God. No one gonna turn me round. Ain't no one gonna turn me round. There's people now to tell you that they know, oh, the places that they take you, and it's easy to go. Zip you up and dress you down and stand you in a row. But you know you don't have to, you can just say no. Ain't no one gonna turn me around. Ain't no one gonna turn. Broke down, busted. They'll get theirs and we'll get ours. If you can, just hold on. Hold on. Years ago my heart was set to live for, oh, I've been trying hard against strong odds. It gets so hard in times like now to hold on, but I fall if I don't fight, and at my side is God. There ain't no one going turn me round. Ain't no one gonna turn me round. Ain't no one gonna turn me round. Ain't no one gonna turn me round. Oh.
We're joined by Michael Cronin now, who just played a very pretty set of songs, including a Big Star cover in there. And I was really happy that you played that, because when I was listening to the new record, MC3, I kind of saw that as an influence. And I wondered, what other sounds were you listening to as you made this latest album, and what kind of influences might people be able to find on there?
definitely a lot of Big Star. I was listening to a lot of the third record, Big Star Third. I mean, it's a whole slew, it's a whole mixture of everything. Maybe some Tom Petty in there.
I was going to say Tom Petty too.
Oh, really?
I feel like I'm a mind reader today.
Yeah,
it's
you're
very strange.
Yeah, it's hard to even pin down. It's just everything. I was listening to a lot of David Bowie and just a mishmash of a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And those are sort of like quite mellow sounds. And but your kind of background is a lot more kind of, if we could say, like raucous, and you know, right. You come from what's known as the garage rock scene, whether people want to be labeled that way or not. You seem to pop up on many other different kinds of records. I know that you do some arranging and stuff like that. Is that true? Or?
Oh, just a little bit. Like, I arranged the strings on Ty Siegel's last record, yeah. Manipulator. It's something I'm interested in doing. I haven't formally done it except for that time. Just pop up on some friends' records here and there. With, like, I play saxophone, and
yeah,
there's not a lot of people in my group of friends who play saxophone. So if anyone needs a saxophone, I'm kind of the go-to.
As I say, the records, this is your third one now, they seem to be, the sound seems to be getting more and more diverse and more expansive,
right?
As opposed to those kind of more simple, kind of more garagey roots maybe. Is that something that you're consciously doing, or is that something that maybe just comes with perhaps age? Are you kind of mellowing a bit? What's pushing that evolution?
I've always been interested in like pushing that, especially on this record, more so than the last record, which was more so than the first record. I don't know, I want to get a lot in there, and really interested in like seeing how you do strings and horns and, you know, on top of the kind of classic guitar, bass, drums, and piano and stuff. It's really fun to me to push myself in that direction of trying to not limit myself to, say, a genre or just limitations that a classic rock band setup would play with. So yeah, it's just something that interests me, and I'm finding more ways to incorporate bigger arrangements like that.
Also, I mean, just that thing we were talking about you popping up on other people's records and playing in other bands and stuff. Is that sort of something, are you just drawn to collaboration, or is it more just the social thing and it happens by accident? Or I mean, I get the impression that on your solo records, you kind of basically do it all yourself. So I find that sort of collaboration thing quite interesting. Like, how do you draw the line on whether you want a song to be entirely yours or you want more people on it? How do you sort of make that decision?
Well, I mean, it's just kind of, there is that social element to it, because, I mean, if I play on somebody's record, it's usually just my friend. Maybe I'm just like bugging them while they're in the studio, and then they say, do you want to do this on this song? And I'm like, sure, I guess. And same with people on my record, like friends passing through and stuff. Yeah, it's just a combination, and it's, if you need a certain skill set that somebody has that you don't have, I mean, my records might, they would sound way different, but they might be more like technically proficient or, you know, musically proficient because I have friends who are way better at every instrument on that record than I am.
not the saxophone there.
Well, even the saxophone, I can find a better sax player.
Obviously, technology is allowing us to make records in our bedrooms more and more these days. Yeah. But do you kind of opt for studios still? And I mean, I know that like people opt for tape a lot, but right. I mean, sometimes it's not practical. I mean, when you're making your records, do you kind of decamp to a studio building, or is it kind of more like a collage of different things done in different places?
You know, for at least the last three records I made, I do go to my friend's studio, who has a tape machine and all the gear, the outboard stuff. It's because I really like that sound that, you know, a nice tape machine in a room with some acoustic treatment, you know, I like that sound, and I like having the record all pretty much sound like it's one cohesive thing. I mean, that being said, I'm not opposed to technology at all. Like all the demos I do at home, just when I'm working, which is most of the process, when I'm just working at home, I use a computer all the time, and I use like synthesizers plugged directly in that doesn't sound necessarily great, and like fake strings when I'm making the string arrangements.
Yeah,
I'm not one of the purists like, against the digital age. But that being said, I do like the tape sound, which is way more impractical.
Mm. But we're not going to see an EDM album from you anytime soon.
Oh no, maybe. I just got a synth. I don't know anything about synths, but I'm kind of getting curious about them.
Get up off your back. There's a vision of the future where the catacombs of mindfulness will fade. This is not sure. That surrounds you, take control and feel the braces fall away. This is what I've got. This is what I'm looking for. Just please be all around me, all around. Yeah, please be all around. Please be all around.
You've been listening to The Sessions at Midori House. Today's guest was Michael Cronin, whose new album, MC3, is out in a few weeks on May the 5th on Merge Records. You can find out more at mergerecords.com. Join us again at the same time next week for more great tunes on The Sessions at Midori House.